When we've done what we know we ought to do, we don't really deserve any medals.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking this week on being a faithful servant. Last week, we read from an old book of instructions written by a butler for household servants. And the reason that I read that very quaint old book was because I felt that those principles have not changed in 170 years. The principles of putting the other person first, thinking of the other person's needs rather than one's own. This week, a faithful servant. I'm going to read first from John 17, verses 7 to 10. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. This is Jesus talking now. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Would he not rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink"? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." Do you think those are hard words? This is Jesus who said these things. When you have done everything you were told to do, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." I think we've gone overboard in our expectations of appreciation. When we've done what we know we ought to do, we don't really deserve any medals. We are unprofitable servants, unworthy servants. My friend Joe Winston, Arlita's husband, some of you have heard Arlita on this program, he says we ought to put this up in a very prominent place in our workplace. We are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. And they are the words of Jesus. It's not easy for the modern mind to accept the idea of servanthood. I think we'd probably all love to have servants. Who doesn't appreciate the luxury of sitting down and being served? It's a good sound when the cart with the beverages comes down the aisle on an airplane. It's always nice when the waitress comes to take our order in a restaurant. It's even better when she brings the order. And when you're looking for something in a department store, how irritated we can get when we can't find a sales lady or a salesperson. They're supposed to be there. They're supposed to be available to serve me. But how do we treat them? How would we wish to be treated? We who call ourselves Christians sometimes find ourselves praying as though we were in charge of things and God were to be at our beck and call. Do I exaggerate? When we examine our prayers, doesn't it sometimes sound as though we're expecting God to serve us, to do what we think God ought to do, instead of putting ourselves humbly under His orders and saying, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" In any situation where we wish God would change things, wouldn't it be better if we simply said to the Lord, "Lord, this is not what I would have chosen, but this is what you have chosen for me. Now, rather than ask you to remove my problem or take me out of this situation or remove that difficult person, Lord, show me how to act in this situation. Teach me what you want me to do." We are His servants, here to do His bidding, faithfully, gladly, courteously, thoroughly, and immediately. Isn't that the way we would want someone to serve us? Faithfully, gladly, courteously, thoroughly, and immediately. But Jesus said, when you've done all of that, you are unprofitable. And yet he calls us also good and faithful. Unprofitable in the sense that we cannot expect to be paid, to be repaid, to be appreciated, to be sung as heroes, to be made over. Why do we expect all of this if we really want to serve the Lord? I had a very angry letter this week from a radio listener. She had done a job as a volunteer, and then they hired somebody to do the same job, and that person was, of course, paid. The lady who wrote to me was extremely upset, angry, she used the word bitter, resentful, because this other person had been paid. Now, those employers had not done her a wrong. She had volunteered to do the job, and they were grateful. But perhaps they couldn't get a volunteer the next time. I don't know what the circumstances were. Or perhaps they felt that now they could afford to pay, or that it was high time that they began paying, and at any rate, it was somebody else that was paid. That lady needs to learn this simple principle. We have not been misused if we volunteer for something and the offer is accepted. And then there's the parable in Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. A talent, says the footnote in my Bible, is worth more than $1,000. So to one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, and to another $1,000, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the $5,000 went at once and put his money to work and gained $5,000 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the house returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The man who had 1 talent and did nothing with it was a worthless servant, not because he had only 1 talent, but because he had not faithfully used that 1 talent that he had been given. The other 2 were called good and faithful, and they were invited to share in the master's happiness. One snowy night last February, my husband and I went to a crisis pregnancy center where I had been asked to do a fundraising banquet for them. And this was up in New Hampshire in a beautiful area where I used to live near Franconia. Plymouth, New Hampshire was where the CPC was, Crisis Pregnancy Center. And as they showed me the various aspects of their work, I couldn't help but think of the faithful servant and of Jesus' words in Matthew 25:40, "Inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it for me." Those people were volunteers. They were serving the distressed mothers, the distressed young women about to become mothers. They were there to help them with their pregnancy, to provide shelter, food, clothing, money, jobs, whatever they needed. That, to me, was a moving example of faithful servanthood.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.